The views of this program are not necessarily the views of KJLL Radio, its management, or its sponsors. The host is solely responsible for its content. Enjoy.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure...
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is the Fred Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my intrepid brother, Jeff, and we are sitting in the very big and comfy lounge of the Tinderbox at 5350 East Broadway Boulevard, one of our lovely sponsors of the Fred and Jeff Show.
Lovely?
Yeah. Big Mike is lovely.
I'd call Big Mike a lot of things, but lovely, I don't know. Maybe vivacious. Very good.
So, as usual, when we're over here, we invite all of our guests to come and hang out and join the show with us.
Okay, now hold on, Fred.
Yes.
I am getting a phone call from my house, from my home. Let's see what the people at my house want. Hello? Hello?
Hello, are you on?
Honey, I'm on the air. What are you doing?
We can't listen.
How come?
Okay,
go to fredandjeff.com, and you go up to the right-hand corner and click Listen Now. It'll work. By the way, honey, you're on the air.
Is this why you were so happy you were expecting this
All
call?
Right, well, I'm doing it right now, so hopefully other people can do it, too.
Exactly. You. Love you, babe.
On the right. Got it. Okay,
honey. Bye.
Yeah. So was that why you were so happy coming in, is you had that little thing planned out?
No, not at all. Not at all. So the kids are back in school, most kids here in Southern Arizona.
That's right.
And
my boys are back in.
Right.
My youngest is now a freshman in high school. It's amazing.
We don't need to go into all the detail, Fred. So the point is, the kids are back in school. Tiana picked them up today for school. They all had a fabulous day in school. And I talked to Mia, and Mia was like, Daddy, you're going to be on the radio show? And I said, yes, I am. She goes, well, I want to listen to you. And I said, okay, Mia, all you have to do is go to fredandjeff.com, click the Listen Now button in the top right corner, and boom. And there you have it. And that was Tiana making sure that Mia got the directions right. And boom. So anyone in the world could be listening to us right now from the Old Pueblo.
And they probably are.
Let's hope so.
Well, let's thank our sponsors.
We do. We need to thank our sponsors because, folks, everybody in Tucson, Southern Arizona, folks that enjoy listening to positive talk should thank and support these folks. And they start with Barker Morrissey Contracting, Casa de la Luz Hospice, H&S Estate Garden,
Power Women Investing, Monkey Burger,
and Monkey Burger, fantastic food over there. You got to go.
We have lunch there almost every week.
We do.
It's awesome.
It is great. And your friends at the Tinderbox, where we are today, the Mayfield Florist folks, the Coleman brothers over at Mayfield Florist, and your friends at Ronstadt Insurance.
And they are your friends.
And we are your friends.
We talked about this last week when you were gone. Oh, by the way, we should say welcome back, Jeffrey.
Well, thank you.
You were in the secluded bunker, undisclosed location.
I was in the great state of Georgia. Oh. It was fabulous.
I was telling people in Mississippi.
No, it was Georgia, just south of the North Carolina border. We really didn't want to give you the specific spread because...
I would show up
totally unannounced
with my bathing suit and a towel
and a fishing pole
and a fishing pole. That's right. Although one of my friends was telling me there's this TV show that's coming up on one of the, like, it was Shark Week or something last week.
Yeah.
And they were advertising this new show called Hillbilly Hand Fishing.
Hillbilly Hand Fishing.
And they stick their hand into holes in rivers and all of a sudden they're like, ah! And they yank their arm up, and there's a big old fish on it.
Well, you know what? Our guest today at the Fred and Jeff Show is someone from the zoo. So that might be a topic of conversation, don't you think?
Do you think they do hillbilly hand fishing over at Reed Park Lake?
Well, we're going to have to ask in a little bit. Because I don't know if it'll be hillbilly, because there are not a lot of hillbillies here in town.
That's true.
But it might be flatlander, pole fishing or something.
But one of the things we talked about last week is this coming Saturday, you're going to have a second opportunity to experience the drive-in theater. The Cactus Drive-In is having another drive-in over at the Mercado off of Congress and I-10.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the show, the movie starts about 7:30.
Okay.
We'll put this information on the website. If you go to fredandjeff.com, you can get this information. But they're going to be playing the, I think, 1956 classic Forbidden Planet.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And so, it's going to be the second, might be a trivia question down the line. What's the second movie shown at the newly reformed Cactus Drive-In, and it's Forbidden Planet?
Was it really Forbidden Planet?
No, it's coming up.
Oh, the new drive-in.
The new.
Yeah, that's
the newly
cool.
reformed.
You know, you can go to Facebook and look up Cactus Drive-In Tucson, and they've got a bunch of great information on their Facebook page.
Absolutely.
So, and you can go to FredJeff.com or Fred Jeff Facebook page and find all kinds of goofy stuff about what we're up to, too.
Yep. So when we come back from this break, we're going to be talking about some fun stuff going on in Tucson.
Yeah, a lot of good things happening
in the heart of the city, the gem of Tucson. We're going to be...
Don't oversell it, Fred. We'll be right back, folks. Stick around for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
What's a monkey burger?
A simple, well-made burger, cooked to your choice.
Why monkey burger?
We called it that because come see our art on the walls. It tells a story. Monkey burger, where it's impossible to be a food snob, even if they do serve wine, beer, as well as Tucson's best burger. 514-9797.
Just drive right past Olive Garden on Broadway and Craycroft and park in front of Monkey Burger.
Hi, I'm John Fina from Performance Footwear, and a lot of people think that after I finished playing pro football, my health insurance would not be an issue. Not true. So when I needed a great health plan for me and my family, I called the folks at Ronstadt Insurance. They hooked us up with the perfect policy from Blue Cross Blue Shield of Arizona, and we couldn't be happier. So if you're shopping for health insurance, give my friends at Ronstadt Insurance a call at 721-4848. They'll be happy to help you. Oh, and when my mom and dad turned 65, my friend Jim at Ronstadt Insurance helped them find the right Medicare plan. Call the pioneers in good service at Ronstadt Insurance, and they'll help you buy the right policy the first time.
Ronstadt Insurance is a full-service insurance agency. Give us a call at 721-4848 or look us up online at ronstadtinsurance.com. Ronstadt Insurance is an agent authorized to sell health insurance plans from Blue Cross Blue Shield of Arizona, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association.
This is Lamont Hunley with Arizona Health with your Fred and Jeff Show fitness tips. A heart rate monitor tracks your fitness training level to help you achieve your maximum results. If you're going too easy or pushing too hard, the heart rate monitor will prompt you to either slow down or speed up. This guidance makes it very easy to stay in your target zone, and it helps you to get the most out of your workout. The monitor, it includes a chest strap that is worn very comfortably around the chest area, and a watch that displays this information. It's like having a coach on your wrist. For more information, please contact Arizona Health at arizonahealth.com. This has been Lamont Huntley with your Fred and Jeff Fitness Tips.
Visit the Fred and Jeff Show online at fredandjeff.com.
And welcome back. This is Fred and Jeff Show. Welcome, welcome, welcome back. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my brother, Jeff.
Hola.
And joining us in the lovely lounge of the Tinderbox at 5350 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 124, is the lovely and vivacious Vivian. Excuse me.
What was that?
I just got a thing in my throat.
Wow. Talk about professional radio here.
I don't have a cough button.
Okay, continue.
Is that Vivian Van Peenen from the Tucson... from the Reed Park Zoo.
Okay, Fred, you are done.
I am done.
Vivian, how are you doing today?
Good, thanks. Thanks for having me out.
Well, absolutely. You guys have a ton of cool stuff going on at the zoo.
We do.
Lots.
Yeah, it's an exciting time.
Okay, so tell us, what do you do at the zoo?
I am the curator of education, and that's a fancy word for everything that has to do with education and signage and kids programs.
All right. All right. Education. Now, you guys have a big education center out there right now.
We do.
Tell me about that.
It's a fabulous new building. It was the first part of the capital campaign that we're still underway with.
Okay.
And about 3 years ago, we opened a LEED Platinum building. It's the first LEED Platinum building in southern Arizona.
Okay, tell me what a LEED Platinum building is.
It's super environmentally friendly. So it means everything we did in that building was considered for its impact on the environment.
Great.
And then they sort of judged all of those components and gave us a super high rating, and it was a real feather in the cap for Tucson.
Now, that was underwritten by one really nice family here in Tucson.
It was. The major gift was the Lee H. Brown family, and they continue to be dear to our hearts for their gift. Yeah.
Okay, so that's great. So what kind of programs do you run in the education center?
A bunch of them. We just finished up our summer camp season, which was unbelievable. Like you said, kids are back in school, so
right.
We're taking a little breather right now, getting ready for the school season. And so, of course, with school season, we've got field trips, behind-the-scenes tours, and all sorts of teacher workshops, educator programs to get teachers engaging with their local zoo. And that's one of those things I'm really passionate about. I feel like our zoo is a tremendous resource, and we want to be able to help teachers as much as possible, particularly during this struggling economy.
All right, well, let's talk about that. So the zoo isn't just a place to go on the weekend or in the afternoon or in the morning and walk around and look at the animals. You guys actually have programs that kids, teachers, families can take part of.
Yeah, there's a huge variety of programs, and you can find all of those programs on our website at tucsonzoo.org.
Okay.
And don't get me wrong, it's a wonderful place to go with your family and
sure.
just spend time and
sure.
hang out outside and enjoy the animals. But when you're ready for something more, there's a whole different level of programming that you can start engaging with, from special events to education programs, and then, again, reaching out into the community, going to schools, working with teachers, making sure that we're there as a resource for everybody.
So what would be one of the most popular programs?
I would say our most popular programs are summer camp, but then from there...
Wait a second. Tell me, most summer camps, you know, there's a lake and you go to the Triangle White Ranch camp and you learn how to shoot a rifle and a bow and arrow and arts and crafts and great stuff like that. What do you guys do at the zoo summer camp?
No bows and arrows in the zoo allowed.
No rifles. No rifle range. Right.
We frown on that.
I bet you do.
But other than that, it is like a summer camp. Lots of arts and crafts. We take kids swimming across the way at the terrific adaptive recreation pool right there in Reed Park. And then we have the kids use every inch of the zoo as a science learning resource. So they're going in the kitchen and making animal diets, and they're going behind the scenes and seeing what zookeepers do every day.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, zookeeper relay races and keeping them busy and running around all day long at the zoo.
That's fabulous. And so these kids are actually putting the plans together to feed the animals.
Well, we sit there. There's several educators and our kitchen
sure.
staff, but
absolutely.
We give them a little recipe and buckets of seeds and apples, and they'll assemble the bird plates for us. And then our nutritionist checks it over in the kitchen, and off it goes to
go.
The birds. And
that's
they get
awesome.
To actually watch it be delivered to the animals.
Otherwise, the animals will be getting heavy diet mm-hmm. of jelly beans and
exactly.
popcorn. And
hey,
and they help
that.
With a lot of enrichment at the zoo. So the kids will make paper mache animal forms, and then the keepers will put some of the animal's diet in the paper mache, and the animals have to figure out how to get to the treat inside. And it's real visual, and the kids get to enjoy.
Now, let's talk about that for just a minute, because
yeah.
the enrichment program is very important to the animals at the zoo.
It is.
And let's talk about what something with my throat. Let's talk about a little bit about what the enrichment thing is. I mean, it's cool that the kids are engaged in making those items, but let's talk about, what the enrichment program is and how it works through the animals.
Yeah, you know, what we don't want to do is put the same food in the same bowl in the same place every day. That's how you end up with overweight animals that can get bored. So our job is to keep them stimulated and active and not just keep them physically moving, but keep them mentally active. So there's a whole sort of group of zookeepers around the country that communicate with each other, go to conferences, and learn more about new and innovative ways to stimulate animals in captivity to exhibit very natural behaviors. We're not talking about getting animals to do tricks or silly things. We look for new and creative ways to get animals behaving like wild animals and giving them the opportunities to explore and find their diet and interact in new ways with their environment.
Okay, so give us an example.
The perfect example is these paper mache animals that our campers will make. So in a lion exhibit, for example, they'll take cardboard boxes, flour and newspaper, all approved, and they will shape all of that into the shape of a nyala or some sort of antelope. And then the zookeepers will put their normal meat inside, and then the lions will pounce on it and shred it and sort of destroy it to get to the meat inside.
And anything that the lions eat is palatable, is
absolutely
can be digested easily.
Yeah, they're all approved items provided by our staff.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Now, what are the age ranges of these kids?
We start as soon as kids finish kindergarten. We like to have them that have that first year of kindergarten under their belt before they come to the zoo. It's a long day, and, you know, they're behind the scenes at the zoo. And then we take them all the way up through eighth grade.
That's outstanding. That's great. Good for you guys.
Time.
So the education part of the zoo is your passion, getting and reaching out and doing stuff in the community to engage the community to come into the zoo.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's great. Now, the Learning Center, you guys also have programs there. I went to a program there. It was sometime last year where there was a snake program, and they had all kinds of information on different types of snakes, boa constrictors, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And we went in, and you guys brought in some world-renowned snake expert and had this great program.
Yeah, there's, again, lots of different levels of programming. So any day, a visitor could come to the zoo in the morning, and we have this amazing group of zoo volunteers and our docents.
Right.
And they're out there every morning with these handleable animals, snakes, hedgehogs, ferrets, talking about adaptations and giving kids that really personal, up-close connection with an animal. But then we will also do evening programming where we'll bring out our education animals, bring in experts, and have lectures in that building at night.
Okay, give me an idea of what an educational animal is.
They're animals that you can pick up and handle safely.
Such as?
Such as an Australian blue-tongued skink is one of our favorites.
Cool.
We have...
what is that?
It's a skink that is from Australia and has a blue tongue.
Well, I don't know what but I don't know what a skink is.
For purposes
it's
of
like
radio.
It's like a lizard.
Okay.
Sorry.
Oh, you know, Fred.
I was being wise guy. Yeah, it's a type of lizard.
Okay, cool.
So lizards, hedgehogs, the little kids love the guinea pigs and rabbits.
Oh,
we have chickens, and the chickens are amazing. We do this great program where we talk about training animals for health reasons. So we need to weigh a tiger. How do you weigh a tiger? When you have no physical contact with that animal, will you train it slowly to stand on a scale and to allow you to weigh it? But you have to get him to do this behavior. We do this with the chicken, with kids, where we can demonstrate target training and using a stick to get the chicken to move onto the scale and to allow us to weigh it.
No
so
way.
We do demonstrations with a chicken to explain what we would do with a tiger.
And the chicken will do this in front of all these kids?
Oh, yeah. The kids
and
can,
hollering?
Yeah,
and
the kids can hold the little target stick, and they can actually help us target train a chicken.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the ice cream social you guys had.
Yeah.
How did that go?
It was very well attended. It was nice. You know, it was one of those nights where it kind of looked like it was going to rain, but it held off. But that made it a beautiful, cool evening. So we had over 1,100 members that came out and enjoyed ice cream.
Wow,
and got to see
great.
Our snakes and chickens and other handleable
that's
animals.
Great. Yeah. So let's we've got about 5 minutes to go before the bottom of the hour break.
Okay.
So I want to talk a little bit about the Tucson Zoological Society and why somebody would want to become a member of the Tucson Zoological Society.
Well, I'm not sure if everyone realizes this amazing partnership that our city-owned and operated zoo has with a nonprofit organization. So there's two separate organizations, but we all together are the zoo.
Right.
And by becoming a member of the zoo, you are supporting the nonprofit Reed Park Zoological Society. And they partner directly with the city to provide the zoo with all of the added benefits we need to reach out. So they fund much of the education department. All of those education programs we've talked about are funded through our Zoological Society, and they support all of the conservation efforts that we do around the world.
Okay, let's talk about that. Tucson Zoo supports conservation efforts around the world.
We do, and it's not part of our city budget. You know, we don't have a city budget line item to donate money to research in Africa, but as a zoo, that's a really important part of our mission. And so through our giraffe encounter in the zoo and our society's donations and support from members, when you join and become a member at the zoo. That supports the society to help with things like conservation around the world. We have great researchers in Africa working on elephants right now, and we think that what they're doing is really important and important to our connection with our new elephant exhibit that's coming
up. So the dollars that go to support the Zoological Society in Tucson actually support elephants and the education and the conservation that is happening for those animals in Africa.
Yep, all of the society programs support education and conservation.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Those are sort of the global things, the intangibles. But, you know, you get, I was looking at it today, for a family membership, you get two adults and a slew of kids.
A family membership. Your whole family.
And you can go free anytime.
It's a great value.
To zoo, you get invited to all of the events like the Ice Cream Social,
Zoo lights,
mm-hmm. Zoo songs coming up. I mean, you're sort of like you're first in line for a lot of that stuff.
It is, and so we'll talk a little bit about some new arrivals at the zoo, and our members always get a little sneak peek at those sorts of things too. So that's coming
that's
soon.
That's outstanding.
And plus,
outstanding.
You get sort of discounts and reciprocal memberships. With
yeah, you get to go to accredited zoos all around the country. You get discounts in our gift shop and in our zoo restaurant.
How is the zoo restaurant?
It's amazing.
Is it?
Yeah, we just did a beautiful expansion. It's now a full service restaurant at the zoo.
Really?
It is an outside concession. It's a contract we have. So they operate restaurants in zoos, several zoos all around the country,
mm-hmm.
And they do a terrific job. And they are able to provide our guests with a level of service and investment in the property that really benefited not just the zoo but also the visitors.
And basically, what to help. I don't know what you just said. Investment level, basically, it's good food.
It's good food at a good price. And it helps the zoo.
Right. Mm-hmm. So they go there and the kids get some chicken fingers or a hamburger or whatever. Not only is it helping the zoo, but it's good quality food.
Yep. They've got pizzas and pastas and burritos and fajitas and a daily special that's always something new.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. That is great.
I think Vivian and Susan, you're there every day, right?
A lot of days. I have a lot of meetings in that restaurant.
How long have you been with the zoo?
I have been with the zoo 15 and a half years.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Where did you start?
I was at the Texas State Aquarium in Corpus Christi, Texas.
Really? Mm-hmm. And what brought you to Tucson?
What brought me to Tucson? This job. I applied for this job. I was really excited about it and wasn't even looking for a job at the time, but it was too good to pass up, and it was the best thing I ever did.
And how long have you been here as part of the Repark Zoo?
That I came here for this job.
15 years ago. Mm-hmm. Wow. Good for you.
Yep.
Good for you. Okay, so give me your title again.
I'm the Curator of Education.
Okay. So, folks, on the bottom of the hour, we're at the bottom of the hour, we got to take a break for the news, and we're going to come back after the news. We're going to talk to Big Mike about this week's cigar special, and
something that I also want to talk about, take some time before, because we have some good things to talk about. But when we come back, let's talk about the role of zoos in conservation and education globally, because you know a lot of people think, oh, we're just caging up animals for display, and zoos are so much more than that.
Yeah, they are. And we also want to talk about we got some new additions to the zoo, too.
Right.
And we're going to take a great part of the second hour of the show, or the second half hour of the show, and talk about all that good stuff.
Terrific.
So, folks, stick around. It's the Fred and Jeff Show, Positive Talk for Tucson, and we will see you in about 3.5 minutes. So, stick around.
Sunny summer day, and I'm playing in the sandbox. You know what I'm saying. Cobra Commander's attacking the town. Where's my hero? He's nowhere around. Then I find out G.I. Joe's Mary Barbie.
Radio, I'm Michelle Wright. This hour's top story, President Obama took time out of his Midwestern bus tour to sit down for an exclusive interview with CNN's Wolf Blitzer. Mr. Obama was asked what he thought about the field of Republican presidential candidates.
I haven't been given it too much thought. I figure that I'll let them winnow it down a little bit. When they decide who they want their standard bearer to be, then I'll be ready for them.
Of those candidates, Michelle Bachmann was in South Carolina today, Newt Gingrich was in Washington, and Rick Perry was in Iowa. Officials at the Indiana State Fair Commission announced today they'll be hiring a New York-based engineering company to investigate Saturday's deadly stage collapse. Fewer new homes are being built. New home construction fell 1.5% last month, according to the Commerce Department. And sad news for the cast of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Russell Armstrong, the estranged husband of Taylor Armstrong, apparently killed himself by hanging, according to the coroner's office. This is CNN Radio.
The Home Depot is powering contractors with a powerful new paint, Kills Pro X. Specially created for professional jobs, it sprays easily and dries fast, so you'll save time applying it. And since you don't have to visit a specialty paint shop to pick it up, you'll save time and money buying it. It's the name you've trusted for years, now in paint made for pros. Kills Pro X, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
My wife's monthly trip to the beauty salon was really adding up. I mean, between dyeing her roots and trimming the dead ends, we were going dead broke. So to save some money, I'm cutting it for her while she sleeps. Shh, no, don't wake up yet. Go to sleep, go to sleep. You're almost gorgeous. Oh, she is going to love this.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Charlie's Comic Books, Tucson's Mightiest, is at a new location, the southwest corner of Speedway and Craycroft. Open 7 days a week, Charlie's is a full-service comic shop. New comics, back issues, all your collecting supplies, action figures, t-shirts, and more. No subscription too small. Shipping available. Call 320-0279. That's 320-0279. Or click on charliescomics.com. Charlie's Comic Books, Tucson's Mightiest.
Thank you for calling Huge Conglomerate Insurance. Your call is somewhat important to us. Please hold, and we'll be with you as soon as we can.
When you get sick or injured, the first call you make is to your neighborhood doctor. Shouldn't the next call you make be to your local insurance representative? Skip the hours waiting on hold to ask a simple question about what your insurance policy will cover.
Your current wait time is 45 minutes.
Instead, call Ronstadt Insurance at 721-4848 and get the attention that you deserve. Trust local, trust Ronstadt Insurance. Pioneers in good service.
May I light that cigar for you, sir?
Thank you.
And we're back. This is Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my brother, Jeff. And we are sitting in, as I said before, the lovely lounge of the Tinderbox at 5350 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 124. And as is our custom, it's time to discuss the cigar of the week with the freshly coiffed Big Mike.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Freshly coiffed.
Freshly. He always says I get a haircut.
Every month he gets, you know, his mustache gets trimmed and he gets a haircut.
Not true.
For radio.
I need a haircut.
Yeah, you do need to get those three hairs cut on
your
head.
So not nice.
So, Mike, what's going on? What's the cigar of the week?
Hey, today we've got, actually, it's a vintage cigar. It's been sitting in the owner's private aging room, and it's a Ramon & Ramon made by Partagas. It's got about 10 years on it. Limited edition cigar. They don't even make it anymore.
Wow.
It's got a Cameroon wrapper. It has, yeah, it's got a Connecticut binder, and it has a Dominican and Nicaraguan filler. And it's a full-bodied smoke, but given the age that it's been sitting, it's really mellowed out. So I'm going to give it more of a medium rating. It's really mellowed out over the years.
And do you have different sizes? Or?
Yeah, I've got everything from a little Corona up to like a Churchill.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
And as usual, it's buy three, get one free.
And where do they go? Where do they go for the,
well,
smoke,
they have to come
for the smoking deal?
They have to come to the Tinderbox at 5350 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 124. Awesome. Or they could call us at 747-4807.
And as we say every week, get here early because these deals sell out fast.
Sometimes they go by real fast and we're sold out. So jump on them, people.
And this is really a good one.
It's a rare cigar. So if anyone wants to try a rare cigar that's been aged for a while, now's your chance. Come and enjoy.
It's not Cuban, is it?
No.
Okay.
No, not Cuban.
So it's Nicaraguan.
Yeah. Well, it's actually made in the Dominican, but it's got Nicaraguan tobacco in it.
Very good. Very good. All right, senor.
Cool.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you,
gentlemen. Hey, how's Rocky Patel doing?
He's doing okay.
Is he?
Yeah.
All right.
So I'll have more information for you at another time.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're here to hear from Big Mike, who just took off his microphone. That's all that noise. Come over to the Tinderbox for the great cigar deal, and we will see you back on the other side of the break with more about the Tucson Zoo. So stick around.
you suffer from irrigation leaks, a broken sprinkler, leaky valves, or you just can't find the problem. At H&S Garden, we provide high-quality, reliable service at reasonable prices. Our repair technician has over 25 years of experience. And if you hate pulling weeds, raking mesquite beans, or trimming those thorny bushes, just leave the dirty work to us. We're licensed contractors with 30 years of experience in landscape management. Our crews are professional and take pride in their work. We'll meet you on site to establish a program that works for you. Call today at 293-6488 or visit us at hsgarden.com. H&S Garden, a family-owned and operated Tucson small business.
At Barker Morrissey Contracting, our goal is to develop lasting relationships with each one of our clients. We measure our success on achieving that in the end. We offer the best possible combination of experience, integrity, and commitment available in Arizona. The foundation of our organization is a commitment to meet our clients' needs from pre-construction services through project build and move-in. We have experienced, cohesive project managers who thoroughly analyze each project prior to construction. We do this to provide value engineering at the front end of the project while reducing time-consuming change orders during construction. We are confident that our collaboration with you will result in a successful project that'll exceed your expectations. Barker Morrissey Contracting. Straightforward, honest, and reliable. Call us at 323-3831 to set up an appointment. That's 323-3831.
Casa de la Luz is Spanish for House of Light. That's what one needs when facing a terminal illness. A House of Light to provide comfort, support, and experienced hospice care during the end-of-life journey. The mission of Casa de la Luz is to provide superior care to patients and their loved ones so that they may complete their mission on this earth in comfort, dignity, and harmony. Founded in 1998 by Lynette Jaramillo and Agnes Poor, Casa de la Luz Hospice has become a leading provider of superior hospice care throughout Southern Arizona. Whether it is in the hospital, at home, an assisted center, or a nursing home, the caring staff at Casa de la Luz will reach far beyond the usual and customary hospice service. Every service provided is a reflection of our commitment to our community. Casa de la Luz Hospice, because every day counts.
And we're back. This is Fred Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my brother Jeff, and we're sitting in the lovely lounge of the Tinderbox at 5350 East Broadway Boulevard. Come on down. They're open until 7 o'clock, and you can enjoy the ambiance of a fine tabacalero.
Well, and you know, and yeah, you need to come down to the Tinderbox. It's a good time.
We need to get Mom down here.
You know, Mom just called me a minute ago. Have you met our mom?
I have. You know, when we were doing fundraising for the Learning Center at the zoo, she was involved with Angel Charities, and they made a lovely gift to our Learning Center there.
Those ladies at Angel Charities, they're great gals.
They do a lot of amazing things in our community.
They really do. So, Fred, you're up. Introduce our guest.
Well, again, we're here.
They all know that, Fred.
You know, we went to Radio 101 with our beloved friend Ed Ackerley.
And we're getting an F.
No, he said, see, mention the location, mention the names, mention everything else. We're doing that.
Good.
Okay, so this is Fred and Jeff. We're here at the Tinderbox. And we're here with Vivian from the Reed Park Zoo.
Perfect. So, Vivian.
Yes.
Let's chat. So, you know, during the break we talked about the white elephant in the room, no pun intended, about the giraffes.
Yes.
And we know that everybody at the zoo is just devastated about what happened.
It was a really crummy few weeks at the zoo.
I can't imagine.
Yeah.
One of the friends of the show, Dr. Moreno, the veterinarian.
Our amazing veterinarian.
Yeah, she's fantastic. And I had the opportunity to talk to her a week and a half ago. And she just, you know, I can't imagine how you guys feel.
No, and you know, we are very, very fortunate to have the staff and the support that we do at times like this. You know, we had a tragic accident that led to, for those of you out there who might not know, although I'm not sure how you couldn't have heard at this point, but we had our giraffe were given oleander accidentally. And, you know, you can have all of the policies and procedures in place that you think could feasibly help protect your animals. But we're humans, and we're humans caring for live animals.
And it was an accident.
And it was a horrible accident that did occur, and that has really encouraged us to look at every single thing we do at the zoo and to make sure that it's impossible for something like that to happen again.
Right.
And we are working to address any issues that might allow that to happen again. But, you know, in this tragedy, we were very fortunate to have people like Dr. Moreno, other veterinarians at Valley Animal Hospital, and consulting veterinarians from all around the country. You know, we're accredited by an organization called the Association of Zoos and Aquariums. And we don't take that accreditation lightly at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because at times like this, we're able to pull from resources, not just here in Tucson, but all around the country. And advice came in about how to deal with this. And we did lose one giraffe, but two giraffes were very, very sick. And we did lose one, but how we ended up saving the second giraffe was truly a remarkable story.
Tell us about that.
And we pulled together this team of experts who worked incredibly fast and diligently around the clock to get her this amazing level of care. And I've never seen anything like it. It was truly heartwarming to see how the zoo staff pulled together as a team, even in this time of tragedy, to deliver the highest level of care to an animal that desperately needed it.
And that's Denver, right?
Denver, the giraffe. And,
right.
You know, she's a really old giraffe.
Really?
And, yeah, she's elderly. She's doing great right now.
No, wait a second. What is elderly for a giraffe?
Elderly for a giraffe. You know, the males live until their late teens. And the female's into their early 20s, typically.
Okay.
And she's 22. She's going on 23. And we have two females that are quite elderly. And so, you know, going through what her system went through, the sort of toxic leaves being in her system and getting through that phase, it was more the secondary phase of her organs having to deal with that toxicity that was really challenging for her.
And
we almost lost her.
Right. And how's she doing now?
She's doing great.
That's great.
You know, she may never be 100% again, but you would never know. When you come and visit the zoo and go out onto our giraffe encounter and feed giraffes, she is the first one there, and she is gobbling up parents like nothing ever happened. And we're really thankful for that, not just because she is doing amazingly well, which we're so thankful for, and we're thankful that we'll hopefully have another good year or two with her. But it also supports our conservation efforts all around the country, and it's a great way for the public to come out and see her and be thankful with us that she's doing so much better, but also to contribute to our staff development and conservation efforts around the world.
So you talk about conservation efforts and staff development and these organizations that the zoo is a part of.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of leads us into the kind of the big coup that, you know, Tucson doesn't breed. The Repark Zoo, you guys aren't breeding animals in captivity, are you?
We do, but not as only Tucson Zoo.
Okay.
We are part of this bigger community, part of this Association of Zoos and Aquariums.
Okay.
And what that means is that we work with our colleagues to make very responsible breeding decisions that affect not just Reed Park Zoo, but the animal collection all around the country. So there might be animals that, gee, we would love to have baby animals all the time, but very often you have to consider where that animal will live as it grows up and ages and who will take care of it as it ages. Just like you need to make responsible pet choices, we need to make really responsible decisions about breeding and placement. And so we only do that with our accredited institutions and looking at the bigger picture of what is needed around the country and getting those recommendations from what's called the Species Survival Plan Coordinator before we make those choices. So for a lot of years, we've been a holding institution for single animals, for older animals like our elderly giraffe.
Now, does that mean that there's been a baby born at the zoo, and you guys hold on to that baby until somebody else, some other zoo, is willing to take that baby and raise it to adulthood?
We generally don't breed that animal until we know there's a place for offspring to go, or knowing that we intend to keep that animal until and provide it with whole life care throughout its whole life.
This is a very, very regimented program.
Yes.
I mean, it is mapped out, and I mean, the animals are on birth control until, you know, they have it down to the gestation lengths for these animals.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Don't get me wrong. We do get to have a say. I mean, we run our zoo, and our city-owned zoo gets to decide what is within our budget and what we look look to have in the future. And we've made a conscious decision that we want to be a world-class zoo. We don't want to be a second-rate zoo.
Right.
If we're going to have a zoo, we want to do a really good job of what we're good at and stick to those things that we're good at, but also lead the way. And it's a science, and it's always growing and evolving. And if we're not out there improving ourselves and doing better all the time, then we shouldn't
What's
be doing
What's the point?
It. Exactly.
Right. And so along those lines, we have new additions to the zoo.
We do.
And tell us all about them.
It's really exciting. Again, we've come from this really time of sadness at the zoo, and
right.
almost immediately after we realized Denver was going to do well and get back on exhibit, within days we had 3 lion cubs born at the zoo.
Wow.
Now, I have been at the zoo for 15 years, and these are the first lion cubs I've ever seen. So it's really exciting for me, and I know we have had lion cubs in the past. Our staff has experience raising, helping mom raise lion cubs.
Jeff and I, when we were little kids,
I was going to say, you probably know more than I do.
We actually, when Junior came into the zoo as a cub, we used to play with them.
Yep. Now, we don't do that anymore. That's really good. I'm glad you said that.
Well, I was going to mention that because I noticed in the pictures that, I mean, there's like latex gloves and they're handling the animals.
Where are you seeing these pictures, Fred?
Well, they were in the news, but they're also
our Facebook page.
Facebook and on the website.
Yeah, perfect. Join us on Facebook because I am posting pictures. You'd think
they're
it was
phenomenal.
My own child
they're
because
phenomenal.
I've got pictures up there every day. And what I do is we take lots of pictures when we do a weigh-in with our veterinary staff. And what happens is the mom is separated to feed, and she goes to her food willingly, and we separate the babies and safely remove each baby one at a time. We weigh it, we do a quick heart rate, and then we get it back to mom.
And how happy is mom when you're in there trying to take those babies away?
She's curious what we're doing. She certainly knows the keepers, and she is, again, having her sort of morning meal while that's happening.
Oh,
but
so you feed her and
she doesn't. Yeah, she doesn't like to be removed from her babies, but we need to make sure they're gaining weight appropriately and doing quick physical checks.
That's
and
awesome.
So we do this very rarely, and when we do it, only the veterinarians get to get their hands on those babies, and they're wearing gloves, and they're sort of holding the babies kind of like a mom would, but no snuggling, kissing of animals allowed. We really believe that moms do the best job of raising animals, so we don't intervene at all unless necessary.
And this is sort of an interesting evolution of the zoo system, because
it
back,
is.
You know, 40 years ago,
when Tucson had a second-class zoo.
Well,
let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean,
the zoo in Tucson 40 years ago was a bunch of cages.
Yes.
With animals in
and
them. It was sad, but that's what we had.
We had an alligator pit. We had some camels.
Mm-hmm.
We had a hippopotamus, and I think at that time we had Sabu, but maybe
Connie was probably there too. Yeah.
And it was like goats.
Elephants.
Yeah. I mean, it was very. You know, the polar bear was in a 10x10 chain link fence.
Yeah, with a trough in front of it or a swimming pool in front of it. It could dive in and come back out.
You know, and this community
what we have today is so different.
Yeah, and that's thanks
it's
to the community. You know, the community and the leadership at the time really decided that if we're going to do this, we need to be a world-class zoo. And we're a small zoo, and we'll always be a small zoo. And we should remain a small zoo, but we need to do it really well.
And I think you guys do it really well.
It's really, really evolved into one of the best small zoos in the country.
All right, so what are those 3 little guys' names?
We don't know yet, but we need your help deciding. So on our Facebook page, we have invited our Facebook friends to give us some suggestions.
So it could be Larry, Curly, and Mo.
Nope, and you'll see right up.
It's 2 girls and a boy.
It's 2 boys and a girl.
Oh, 2 boys and a girl, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and we are looking for African names because...
African names, how about... Tucson names.
No, we're looking for something. We want people to break out their Swahili dictionaries or any other African reference. We want that cultural reference, and their parents both have African names as well.
Now, what are the parents' names?
Kaya and Shambe.
Kaya and Shambe.
Mm-hmm. And we've had Atatu and Mbali in the past and Kitabu. So we're going to stick with the African names. We like it, and for the African lions, it's appropriate.
Okay, yeah, so tell us a little bit
fluffy,
about more of these lions.
No, yeah.
They're African lions.
They're African lions, and again, it came, a breeding recommendation came to Reed Park Zoo, and we brought in a new young male lion who, frankly, I thought was too young. He didn't seem very interested this season, but he was able to get the job done.
So now, where are these 3 little guys? What's going to happen to them?
Well, they will stay here at Reed Park Zoo.
Forever? They're going to live?
For a while. They will be here for years as they grow and then they will be. We will work with the Species Survival Plan coordinators to find zoos at.
Now wait a second.
Other locations.
A minute ago, you said that you wouldn't have.
No, they gave us the recommendations. So they said we know we have X number of spaces. We don't know exactly which institution they'll go to.
Oh, but it's.
But the breeding recommendation came, and so we're working with our colleagues to make those decisions.
Got it. Now these three little guys will go somewhere in the United States, or will they be?
United States.
Okay, only United States.
Usually United States. There's some accredited to zoos in Canada, and there's others. We have, for example, moved a polar bear to Australia in the past.
Wow.
And again, we do work internationally, but then it's always still through the AZA.
That's great. So when were they born?
They were born, I don't remember their birth date offhand. You'll have to...
It's like 3 months ago or
No, a couple
ago?
Weeks ago.
Oh, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, maybe 3 weeks. They're about three weeks old.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And they are so much bigger already.
Yeah, I mean, they're big.
8 or 9 pounds each.
You know, you go on your Facebook page and you guys have got pictures of them. They're big.
Yeah, they're getting big fast.
I mean, they're real big. What are these little guys eating?
Just mom's milk right now.
That's it?
Yep, just nursing.
So you're trying to make it as realistic to being in the wild.
Mm-hmm.
They're nursing on mom. Nothing else possible.
Right, and that's a good point because you can't even see them yet, and that's important for people to realize. Is that they are still in what's called a cubbing den. There's like a dark, small room that's provided for mom, and that is where she delivers. And the babies stay in there and nurse, and they just focus on each other for quite a while. So they probably will not be on exhibit for another, my guess, 5 to 6 weeks, but it's completely up to them.
So mom didn't have any potential.
That cubbing... Go ahead.
They have access to leave the cubbing den.
That's just going
to
ask.
That's their choice, is to be in there. That's what's safe and secure, and it gives them the time and intimacy to just sort of focus on each other and be healthy. And
so in the next couple of weeks,
get to know each other. Then they'll start to explore.
People should be showing up to the zoo a lot more often because someone's going to be the
someday,
first to see
someone's gonna be.
These cats on exhibit.
And we said earlier that our goal is to make sure that our members get some little sneak peeks.
The
so when we know
thing, yeah.
they're ready to start sneaking out, what we'll do is we'll start opening early for members so that they can come in and hopefully get a peek. Again, it's a lion's choice. We never know if they're going to choose to come on exhibit or not. It's always the animal's choice.
So, okay, so I have two questions for you.
Mm-hmm.
A, how was the mama lion attended when she was giving birth?
None.
Did you no attendance?
Came in the morning, babies were there.
Wow.
Because she's in the cubbing den. It's usually overnight that babies are born, not always.
And
but
she was healthy enough with no issues that...
None.
Well, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And she's a first-time mom. We were pretty nervous because a lot of first-time moms, it's not successful. Because they don't know what they're doing, they don't know what's happening to them.
And she's been in captivity her whole
life.
And
she's been in captivity, and even in the wild, often first-time moms are not successful.
Okay.
And she's been a great mom, to our surprise.
So question number two is, is there any way that Dad would harm those three little guys?
No, because he's kept separate right now.
Okay, and will he be kept separate until they're a certain
and
size?
And in the wild, the dad would sort of step back while mom and cubs are at this stage.
Okay.
And in the wild, he would, as they become sort of, I guess you'd call them toddlers, starting to, prounce about, the dad is there as part of the pride, usually with some, other females. And so I don't know for sure yet if we'll be introducing the cubs back to dad. It will depend on the cubs' behavior and on dad's behavior, and the animal care and veterinary team will evaluate that at the time. But it's a possibility.
At what point do the males then become adversarial? Because the males, if I remember, my Mutual of Omaha, Wild Kingdom, at some point the males, become...
They go off and form prides of their own.
Exactly.
And when they start exhibiting those behaviors, there you go, pictures from our Facebook page.
Oh, yeah.
When they start to exhibit those types of behaviors, that sort of independence and early aggression, that's our clue that they're ready to leave home, sort of like, college boys, right? So,
hello. What are you saying?
And that's when we would make those decisions about where they're being placed at other zoos.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
But fantastic.
We'll have them for a while.
That's great. So you have other good news.
We do. We are under construction, although, again, I think most people know this, but in case you don't, we are under construction right now, and we are preparing to expand the zoo by 7 acres and to open an amazing extension of the zoo called Expedition Tanzania. And when that exhibit opens, it will be an elephant exhibit with the possibility of future species down the road.
like other species like?
Well, we're not sure yet. Right now, the focus is opening for elephants. This is all about elephants right now and everything that elephants need to have just an amazing life at Reed Park Zoo.
That's great.
But down the road, it could include other hoofstock. It could include other small African species. And it just sort of opens up a lot of potential for the future of our zoo.
Yeah, let's talk about, because there's some great pictures at TucsonZoo.org.
Yes.
And I'm sure on Facebook that are showing the construction, the steps, the process. You're building a bunker.
It's massive. It's massive. You know, we're really fortunate in Tucson, and it is a perfect climate for elephants. It's almost identical to areas of East Africa, our climate is. So the barn itself is huge. It's massive, but maybe not as massive as some of the barns, say, in a very cold climate would need to be, where elephants spend more time inside. Our goal is to provide those elephants with access to their whole exhibit 24 hours a day.
7 acres.
Well, that includes the people space, too.
Okay.
So where people can go out and see the elephants. But just space for elephants wandering around is over 3 acres.
That's fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Now, right now we have two elephants.
Two beautiful elephants
at the Reed Park Zoo.
We do.
What are the plans for the elephants down the line?
Well, what will happen is we're working with our partners in San Diego, and we are planning on bringing in additional elephants from the safari park in Escondido, the one that's sort of north of San Diego.
Now, are these going to be little guys, or are they going to be adults who just need to move on?
We don't know the exact animals yet, but it will probably be two adult females and their offspring, and potentially a bull.
Now, is there, obviously, you know, we already discussed this, but it would be really cool at some point if we'd have the capacity for breeding the elephants. That's sort of built into the plan?
That is the plan, yes. We are looking to be a breeding facility for elephants, and now we don't know, again, which females we're getting. There's potential that one of them might be pregnant when she arrives. One of them might come with a very young offspring. One might have a slightly older offspring.
That's just unbelievable. I mean, the Reed Park Zoo, with the addition of these little guys, with the addition of these elephants, I mean, it's got to rival some of the finest zoos in North America.
It certainly does. And the types of programs that we're involved with and the types of exhibitry that we're building right now, it does. And it's not a rival, it's a partnership, which is what makes it so wonderful.
That's a great point.
Yes.
But, I mean, I know folks that will travel up north to go to the zoo there because they think, well, you know, the Tucson Zoo's nice, but it's kind of a little zoo. We need to go there. Well, really, you don't.
No, you don't. In fact, we have a lot of visitors from a very wide area that when they come here, they're amazed not only at the quality of the exhibitry and the health of the animals, but also how accessible the animals are. You know, you can get close to
you
the animals.
Really
you can
close.
See
oh, yeah.
them.
Oh, yeah.
Not only that, but we really want our guests forming personal connections with the animals. We want them to identify with them and know them and love them as they're getting older and grow up with their zoo. And we encourage that type of connection and personal ways to get involved with the zoo. And you'll see a lot of that in this new exhibit. There are educational opportunities in this new exhibit where stuff you would only see maybe on a behind-the-scenes tour or doing our camp program will now be brought out to where the public will see it every day. So our
fabulous.
Keepers will be giving elephants pedicures, and you can be there watching
That's
and
fabulous.
Maybe even get to touch an elephant foot yourself.
We had the opportunity, and I think we won it at Zoosan last year, but my kids, got to brush down the rhinoceroses.
Right.
And the rhinos came right up against the fence in the back, and me and Larry were there with these giant brushes brushing them off. It was awesome. It was just a great, great
day. Yeah, you can do that
day.
As part of our behind-the-scenes tour. And then also shortly after we get our lion cubs, or maybe even before our lion cubs are on display, well, I'm not exactly sure, but within a few weeks we have a new female tiger who's here, and she's going to be going out on exhibit as well. So,
Vivian, thank you so much for coming
welcome.
On our show today. You
Thanks
are one of
me
the
out.
People that makes Tucson, Southern Arizona, a great place to live with the work that you do and the passion you have for the zoo. We really, 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 really appreciate you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the show, and thanks for having us out today.
Absolutely. Thanks, folks, thanks for listening to the Fred and Jeff Show. We will talk to you all next week. We'll be back in the studio with some fabulous guests. Have a great week, Tucson.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.